thing we have to fear is fear itself. Fear itself. Fear itself.
From the Center for History and New Media at George Mason University, this is Digital Campus, featuring Tom Scheinfeld, Mills Kelly, and Dan Cohen.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Fear itself.
This is a live broadcast of the Digital Campus podcast on the 3rd of August, 2010, the big one-week, one-tool reveal show.
Okay, it's 2:30 Eastern Time, 6:30 p.m. UTC, and I'm Dan Cohen.
I'm Tom Scheinfeld.
And we're broadcasting live from the Center for History and New Media at George Mason University in scenic and lovely Fairfax, Virginia. Nicer than Hawaii, Mills.
I'm sure.
And this is a special edition of the Digital Campus podcast that we do with Mills Kelly, who is currently reporting from Hawaii. Hi, Mills.
Hey, Dan. Hey, Tom.
Hi.
Hope you're having a good vacation. And we've got some other special people on the line. With us today are Effie Capsalis from the Smithsonian. Hi, Effie.
Hi there.
Steve Ramsey from the University of Nebraska. Hey, Steve.
Hey, everybody.
And longtime listeners to the podcast will probably know Steve as one of our trusty irregulars, if that's not an oxymoron. And we also have with us Boone Gorges from CUNY. Hey, Boone.
Hi there.
And what's special about this is that Boone, Steve, and Effie, and nine other people have just finished participating in a one-week blitz called 1 Week, One Tool. And we're going to talk about that. It's a National Endowment for the Humanities-sponsored summer institute that we ran here at the Center for History and New Media. And brought together 12 people. Tom's going to say a little bit about it. And as the name suggests, 1 Week, One Tool, they worked 24/7 for actually more than 7 days, I think, all told, to produce what we think is a really neat tool. People on Twitter have been asking me why we're not wearing black turtlenecks, and they're right. It is a magical and revolutionary tool that we're going to reveal today. We probably haven't been doing a very good job managing expectations, but we think it's neat. It's a good start. It's going to be improved over the next year. And maybe to kick us off, Tom, do you just want to say a little bit about what 1 Week was?
Sure. We approached the National Endowment for the Humanities, I guess it was a year or so ago, with an idea to do a different kind of summer institute. As many people know, the NEH has been running summer training institutes for humanities scholars for years now. And usually those take the form of kind of classroom instruction, lecture style institutes over the course of a week or 2 weeks or even up to 6 weeks. We thought that we could try something a little different, kind of grounding ourselves in the very practical traditions of the digital humanities. We thought a better way or another way to go would be to do something very hands-on and take 12 digital humanists, scholars, librarians, museum professionals, and others, graduate students, and even recent undergrads out of their normal lives for a week. Bring them to Fairfax and see if they could build a tool in the span of 1 week. So I think we were trying to challenge a couple of different assumptions. One, that training has to be lecture style. That the way to train people in digital humanities is to have them actually do the work. That's where real training for digital humanities lies. That's the first assumption we were trying to challenge. The second one was that tool building had to be a multi-million dollar, multi-year process. That you needed large large budgets, large time frames, large roadmaps. To build something useful to the humanities community. We thought that getting 12 smart people with diverse skills and a lot of energy together, that we could put something together in a week. So we, you know, those were the kind of two theoretical challenges of the institute, and I think we met both of them. I think, you know, you'll be able to judge when you see the tool, but that was where we were coming from.
Yeah, and we should emphasize that it really was a diverse bunch. I mean, there was a recent college graduate, all the way up to full professors. There were people from the museum world, the library world, instructional technology. There were humanities scholars in all kinds of fields. Steve, who's on the line right now, is in literature, and Boone is in philosophy. And people like Boone and Steve with real technical chops who wanted to sort of pull together to try something very collaborative. So I think we've got a lot of people waiting to hear about this tool, and Effie, as head of the outreach team, is going to be the lucky person to introduce it. And I'll try to do some screen cast as we go along, but I'm not sure how well that's going to work out. Effie, why don't you take it away? What did the One Weekers build last week?
Okay, I'm honored to be the revealer. And we basically took five great ideas and narrowed it down to Anthologize, which is a tool. It's actually a WordPress plugin that allows you to grab feeds from all different places. So your blog, Flickr, comments, all different places, and aggregate them, compile them, edit them, and publish them back out as an ebook, as a PDF, so you can print out the book, and as TEI, which is an open XML format for those of you not in the library world, for storage and exchange. So I think one of the ideas that really excited us about this is the idea that you can take all the work that you're doing online in the blogosphere and aggregate it. So if you're blogging on multiple channels and want to put that together either for your CV or for your institution, Anthologize lets you do that.
So tell us where we can find this tool, and then we'll get into the details and sort of how it was brought together.
Yeah, go to anthologize.org. You can download the tool now. You can get swag. You can tell us how you're going to use it. So we're really counting on you to help us make this grow.
Great. Stephen Boone, you participated from the coding side. Maybe, Steve, I could talk to you first. What was your role on the team, and what do you see as your vision for Anthologize? What do you see as the larger purpose of it for the humanities and beyond?
Yeah, I think, first of all, my role, I was on the dev team, so I was one of the developers, and I worked mainly on the PDF output. So as Effie mentioned, you know, you can aggregate all your blog content through Boone's marvelous UI. He and some other people worked on that, and then output it in EPUB or TEI or PDF. And the you know, we think of it as kind of, you know, sort of, you know, in the space of publishing. So you're aggregating all your posts together, you know, and then creating a book that can go down different kinds of dissemination channels. I guess that's one way of thinking about it. We have lots of plans for different outputs, not just these different formats, but different kinds of layouts and different kinds of devices and all of that sort of thing. So that's one big future direction for the tool, is we want to keep hacking the outputs so that the user has more control over it and has you know, a wider range of choices in what that output looks like. I also think that this is a tool that we're excited about for writers, because I think that it takes the big, giant, sprawling word processor and reduces it down so that you know, writing documents is as simple as blogging, because of course the editor that you use to edit a blog is a very simple word processor, and it defers questions of format. Our tool sort of defers questions of format to a completely separate realm of the interface, so that the experience of writing stuff is just like blogging. You sit down and you know, work in that very simple environment, an environment that people find very easy to get into, But then, you know, when you're done with that compositional phase, you can move into a new phase where you're designing that document. You're designing a document based on your blog where you have a ton of control over how that output looks, and you can now as a writer sort of devote yourself to making it look beautiful.
Great. So we should talk about before I move on to Boone, a little bit about what you can export it into. Effie, do you want to talk a little bit about that, these formats?
Oh, me.
Yeah, and the process about this. So here I've got a anthologized plugin running on my blog already. Had fun playing around with it over the weekend. It adds a panel into your WordPress install and allows you to start new projects. What happens then? Can you walk us through a little bit what the workflow would be like for someone who, let's say, wants to create a book out of their poetry blog? Did we lose you, Effie?
Nope, I'm still here.
Okay, great.
Still here, sorry. Having multi-screen problems. So basically, it breaks down the components of a blog feed. So you can take titles of your posts and content of your posts and assign them to different kind of parts of content in the application, in the WordPress tool, and then you can basically recompile them according to any way you want. And also, if you've been doing an ongoing publication and want to take a chance to put some wrapper content around that, so if you want to write an introduction and add footnotes and reorganize your content, you can do that.
Great. Boone, why don't we move over to you? So we were joking around a little bit about your role as the jerk on the team. Of course, we were completely joking. But you did play a sort of role as a crux between different teams, and you were our resident WordPress expert. So we had to rely a lot on you to figure out how to sort of merge these different components together, the Ajax-y smooth way that you arrange the sections of the book and set up chapters, deal with the export team and the different formats like EPUB and TEI and PDF and RTF. What was your role and how did you find the experience of 1 week?
Well, as you said, I was really the WordPress person. I think that the reason we chose WordPress was not necessarily because we had a wide swath of expertise regarding WordPress on our team. It was more that WordPress, we knew that WordPress as a platform was something that was accessible to many people. It was already used by a lot of people, and it was powerful enough to really host a lot of the things that we wanted to do with Anthologize. So as when we chose WordPress for those reasons, the responsibility of sort of wrangling all of the WordPress components really did fall on me, because of the six or seven people who really had strong development chops at 1 week, I was the only one who had done significant WordPress development. So my role really was, as you said, to make sure that the people who were handling the export formats had a way to talk to the user who is actually using the WordPress dashboard, and to make sure that the people who were building the sort of Ajax-y UI that you were talking about had a way to tie into the WordPress database. So I was kind of overseeing all of those and making sure they fit together in a nice WordPress package. One of the big focuses for me as the sort of WordPress person here was to make sure that the plugin really did conform to WordPress coding standards. And that's important because I want to make sure that the plugin is really extensible in the way that the best WordPress platform plugins are. I mean, I work a lot on BuddyPress, and what's so cool about BuddyPress is that it itself is a platform built on top of WordPress as a platform. And I think that we envision Anthologize to be used in a similar sort of way. We want people to be able to step in and really begin developing using Anthologize as a base. And my real hope for that is that it won't just be sort of WordPress people working on it, WordPress developers, although I hope it will be. But I also hope that we'll have people who haven't done WordPress development, people who are working in the library fields, people who are used to these sorts of textual transformations, coming in and writing extensions for Anthologize, really as an entrance to the WordPress development field, which I think is really exciting.
Great. So, Mills, you've been hanging on the line. What do you make of all this? You've been away in Hawaii while we were doing this crazy experiment here.
Well, you know, this is what happens when you go away from campus, is that all sorts of exciting things happen while you're gone. And this is, you know, I've been sitting here, you know, the semester is going to start in a few weeks. And so even though I'm on vacation, I'm starting to think about what I'm going to do in my classes. And as soon as I get back, I'm installing this in the blogs that I set up for my class, because increasingly in my teaching, I've become dissatisfied with the kinds of output that we demand from students. You know, we make them write papers, we make them take exams, we make them give presentations, all that kind of conventional stuff we've been doing forever. And while that kind of output has its uses, I think that for the students themselves, it's just not very useful. They need, especially in this economic world we live in now, they need tangible product that they can show to future employers, to graduate schools that they're applying to. And so the class that I'm teaching in the fall, there actually has the goal of the class is that the students are going to produce a white paper to try to disseminate to the policy community on the subject of the course, which is it's a course on the history of human trafficking. And so they're going to have a tangible work product. Well, guess what? I just found the platform for making that work product simple to construct as opposed to difficult. And so I already know how I'm going to have to rewrite my syllabus. So this is really, really exciting, because I think so many people use blogs in their teaching, and then the blogs just die at the end of the semester. And so the students aren't really invested in the blogging in the ways that they are in their own Facebook profiles or whatever ways they communicate with their friends. This gives them more of a reason to buy in and to see that the things that they're writing online for a class are going to be made real, made tangible, but either in a digital form or ultimately in some kind of print physical form. And I think that that's going to have some really powerful pedagogical advantages. So I'm really, really excited about this. And, you know, for those who are listening online, I'm finding out about this at the same time. So my teaching wheels have been spinning really fast the last 15 minutes.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Mills. One of the things we did at 1 week was, you know, right after we picked the tool, and I should say a little bit about how we did that. We 1 weekers got to campus on Sunday night, and they spent Sunday night and Monday morning hearing a little bit from the team here at CH&M about how we go about building tools and the kinds of, you know, the kind of ethics we bring to our tool building projects and the kind of technologies we bring and the kind of outreach strategies and other things we bring to tool building projects. On Monday afternoon and Tuesday, we brainstormed a whole bunch of ideas for different tools. And as Effie said, we came up with five or six, which were the finalists. We did a couple rounds of voting and eliminated some and ended up with Anthologize. So starting very quickly after that, on Tuesday afternoon, we started sort of self-assigning ourselves to teams, and we came up with a kind of a tripartite structure for the project. We had a development team, a UX team, user experience team, and an outreach team. Effie was the lead of the outreach team. Boone and Steve were both on the dev team, and Kathy Gossett, who's just joined us, I believe, was the head of the UX team. And one of the first things that the UX team did was come up with some user scenarios, trying to think of the ways in which different groups, different kinds of people might want to take stuff from a blog and put it into a book. And one of the use cases that they came up with, Mills, was precisely what you were talking about, a class blog, so that a group of students and their professor are spending the class, spending a semester blogging, keeping track of their progress and communicating with their peers on a blog, and that at the end of the semester they could produce a bound book that they could then deposit with the university library. They could, you know, present to for job applications as a product, that they could deliver, as you said, like as a policy document or other other end purposes. So that was one of the use cases. Kathy, maybe you could say a little bit about some of the other things that you guys came up with, other possible uses for the tool.
Sure. Can you hear me?
Yep. Welcome to the podcast and the 1 week reveal, Kathy.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I was busy setting up all the stuff, so I didn't do a feedback loop here. What did you ask again?
Oh, yeah, sure. Sorry. So I was just talking a little bit about how you know your team at the very beginning of the process sat down and came up with some user scenarios. And you know, Mills, without hearing about them before this, mentioned one of those, which was the kind of class blog scenario. And I was just asking, what were some of the other user cases that you guys identified for Anthologize?
Right. Okay. Some of the other use cases we identified were simply a scholar who did a lot of WordPress work or blogging work that was interested in collecting the various blog posts into a book that they could either self-publish on their website or possibly work with a publisher to publish in a more formal format. We were also thinking about editors of things like ProfessorHacker.com, ProfHack.com, that so Julie Maloney edits, that might want to bring in posts from disparate blogs that all blog about similar issues and bring them together into kind of a journal type of publication that they could put online. We also thought about digital collections for museum curators so that they could pull multiple pieces of exhibits, whether it was text or image, together into something online that they could then also export into a digital format so that it could be published and sold in museum bookstores.
Great. And how did you find the whole experience of the craziness of getting here on Sunday and basically going round the clock through Saturday?
I really enjoyed it. In fact, I've been trying to figure out what to do with myself for the past 3 days. I think it was really exciting for me because I haven't had an opportunity to go to that camp. And although I would consider myself part of the digital humanities because I do technology work in the humanities, I haven't really been a part of that discipline formally before. And so for me, it was wonderful being able to come and meet people who are involved in it, as well as meet people from so many different disciplines and from so many different types of academic work, to be able to work with them and see that this type of a thing is doable and how much it takes interdisciplinarity and how important that is for this type of work to succeed.
You know, Dan, I have to say that you know, Tom was talking earlier about how part of the goal of 1 week was to have a learning experience and to learn by doing and so forth. And it certainly was, but I have to say, I as a developer and as a member of this team, I kept looking around at all the people involved, all the sort of 12 members of the 1 week team, and it was like as if you landed. I mean, we all learned something. There's no question, but it was also as if we sort of landed on a crash landed on an island, and we say, well, what are we going to do now? And someone says, oh, well, I'm a master shipbuilder. And the next person says, oh, I actually know how to, start fires with my mind. You know, I mean, like everyone seemed to have, I mean, it was just this is such a stunning group of people. I mean, everyone brought something, not just a little bit, but really brought something extraordinary to the group. I look at some of the stuff that the outreach people did. And I mean, there are companies with VC funding that don't have this kind of sort of creativity going for them. And same for the UX team, just real, solid work, I think. So I'm just so stunned to be part of such a really kind of amazing group of people.
I have to agree. And I part of it, I mean, I wrote about this on my blog the other day that, I came in as a relatively junior developer. And a junior scholar. I mean, I'm an ABD, and working with someone like Steve, who has so much more programming experience, and someone who has been in academia so long, and the rest of the team who is just as diverse. I mean, that was just as valuable or more valuable as building the tool itself. The chance to really participate in a real peer-to-peer collaborative way with these people who otherwise I really wouldn't have the opportunity to have that much contact with.
Well, that's, I think, an important, you guys both sort of raised this point. When we pitched this to NEH, I think we were conscious about saying, this wasn't going to be a skills training workshop. I don't think we were trying to teach, I mean, I don't think there's anything that, Dan or I could teach you, Boone, or or you, Steve, about programming, or you, Effie, about outreach, or Kathy, about user experience. You know, you guys come with tons of experience and amazing creativity. But what I think we were trying to teach was collaborative tool development and kind of process. How you bring a group of really talented people together to produce a real product and something that's, you know, and I think we got there. Anthologize is a, you know, it has its problems technically. It has its problems in the branding, and the website isn't perfect, and you know, there's a whole bunch of things that need to be improved. And as Dan, I think, suggested, we're going to be spending the next year. It's also written into the grant that we're going to spend the next year collaborating online and trying to build a user community and an extended developer community to support the tool and improve it, and hopefully push towards a 1.0 release for next summer. But really, the training activity was in the process of collaboration, and I think we got there. And I mean, I know that it was one of the most productive experiences of my career, and I just want to thank all of you guys and the rest of the team that's listening for giving Dan and I and Jeremy and Trevor and Sheila and Sharon and all the rest of the crew back here a week of sort of your undivided attention, because we learned a ton too.
I think one of the things that I'd like to go back to is Tom, your blog post pointed out three things in steering this project, and I thought you just had this giant axe that you would put down every once in a while and say, okay, decision made, and move on. And as a result of the 1 week format, of course, but I think it's really helpful, and I'm going to start carrying my own axe around to cut things off where I work. Yeah,
it was funny. It was like, there was no time to fight. There was no time it was like, you couldn't spend hours, over some technical detail. It's just like, we got to just do it. Go do it right now.
Changes
the dynamics completely.
Yeah, we had a common goal too. I think we really wrapped our heads around, we're doing this for a group of people who need to accomplish something. And that's really what it was driven by. And the whole mandate from Tom on day one was make it useful.
I think it was also, sorry to interrupt you, Effie, but I think like some of the people you talked about, the target, we had people, we had users that we were imagining, and part of it was that the users are us, right? I mean, I think in a way, like we could all see the tool clearly because we wanted it for ourselves, it's interesting.
It's all about us, basically.
Well, I just think, I mean, it's amazing how quickly you can get excited about something if you can imagine yourself using it. I mean, I think a lot of programmers and certainly a lot of UX people work in an environment where they don't imagine themselves as the users of the tool, whereas I think we had a sense that we'd be using it the minute it was built, right?
Right. I think one of the things that was great for me was, I had blogged for a while, but I had kind of backed off of it as a junior faculty member because I couldn't figure out a way to make it visible in a way that would make sense to others around me. But I can see this tool being able to format and export and really make a very interesting print publication to submit to various committees being extremely valuable and getting me excited about blogging again.
And Dan, we've talked we've talked to the editors at Michigan. We're going to be using it to build Hacking the Academy. So all of you 300 people who contributed to Hacking the Academy, you too are going to be using Anthologize, whether you knew it or not. So there are a ton of different use cases. And Steve, you're absolutely right. We were building something we need. And I think that was true in building Zotero and Omeka and the other things we've built here at CH&M, is that we are the audience, and so we do know in some ways what it is we need. So I hope that we've hit that nail on the head with Anthologize.
I have an Anthologize book I made in 5 minutes here on this iPad. So people who are watching us live, here it is. This is 5 minutes of work. I took some of my blog posts, including my blog post about the launch of Anthologize. It's very meta here. But you can see just how nice it looks. This is the EPUB version. Made it, just stuck it into iTunes, synced my iPad, and there it is. And so you can imagine doing this with many things that people are currently tweeting about, including novel writing and blog post compilation and student work. So, and this will work with images as well. As you can see, in fact, the logo on the first page gets all centered and scaled and correctly and everything. So great work, Boone and Kathy and Effie and Steve and all the other team at 1 week. Do people have any final thoughts about the experience, or what do you think is going to happen next over the next year? I see, just looking at Twitter, that there's been hundreds of tweets about Anthologize over the last half hour. Are you scared? Are you excited?
I have to say that I'm a little bit scared. I'm scared because the tool as it stands is a proof of concept. It's the goal is not necessarily to, I mean, it was 1 week. We're awesome, but we're not that awesome that we can produce something that is feature complete and bug free over the course of 1 week. What we have, I think, is a proof of concept, and it is a platform. It's got the shell, the WordPress shell that you need in order to really start developing these rich editing features and these rich content outputs that are going to make the tool really honestly useful. So I hope that people remember that this is an alpha release and sort of respect us for what we've done in 1 week and look forward to the future and to what they can contribute to future versions, that 1.0 version that I think will be super powerful.
And I think I just want to say, I want to invite everybody listening now to jump on the dev list, look on at the get involved page on the anthologize.org website. We want to build a developer community around this. This is an alpha version, but it's an alpha version that we hope to bring towards a 1.0 version. This is going to be a tool that we support. We're going to be going out and looking for some continued funding for the project now that it's launched. And we really want to build a user and a developer community around it. So anybody who has WordPress development skills, anybody who has TEI and book publishing skills, please jump on the dev list and start hacking around. The project's up on GitHub. You can check it out and start trying and submitting patches. And there's a lot of ways to get involved. And we really do want this to not just sort of end today with the launch. We want this to be used and to live on. We're committed to building tools that are used and tools that are open source tools that have communities of sustainability around them. So please help us out and jump on board.
I wonder if Boone, you and I should some of the features we have planned, maybe.
Yeah.
You got some ideas about going forward with the UI?
Yeah, I'd be happy to talk a little bit. I mean, a lot of this is sort of based on what we get from real users. So, it's nothing set in concrete yet, but, some of the things that we want to get in, we want to make it really easy for people to upload translators. Like I was saying before, you don't have to know anything about WordPress, just know how to translate from TEI to whatever output format that you want, making that super simple. We're looking at different kinds of extensibility. So right now we've tried to make the sort of vocabulary of Anthology be discipline independent. So we talk about projects and parts rather than books and chapters, but we'd like to have sort of language packs that you can install and really turn it into something that's very specific to your discipline.
And so right out of the gate, we are all thinking about RTF, we're thinking about LaTeX, we're thinking about LaTeX that goes to PDF, so it uses LaTeX typesetting engine to generate PDF. More ebook formats, I would say, probably more devices down the road. So lots of different, and probably different levels of control over the output formats, so that some are just ready to go, hit the button, and you get something beautiful. Others probably with a lot of fine-grained control over how that output looks, and so that's all, I would say, in the coming year.
Right. Okay. Well, I can see that we're quickly going viral here online. There's the Atlantic Monthly has a post up on their site already about the tool, and I, for one, am very excited. I was really mostly an onlooker, but I'm really excited about what's to come with this project. I'm going to use it for a bunch of things, and it's terrific to have it. Mills, do you have some last thoughts from Hawaii?
It's given me a reason to come back to Fairfax so I can install this as soon as I get back.
Sounds good. I think your blog definitely deserves a anthologized book version.
Ed Wired the book.
Ed Wired the book.
We've been working with the Book of Boone all week. That was the test data. So it'll only be fair to spread the book love around.
Great. Well, Boone, thanks for dropping by to the live and exciting One Week, One Tool broadcast, the reveal of Anthologize. And thanks so much for all your work.
My pleasure.
Effie, thanks so much to you and for somehow getting online. And Effie was our guinea pig to get all this tech set up. And it's great to have you do the actual reveal and talk about the features and the outreach plan.
So fun. Thanks.
Kathy, wonderful to talk to you as well, and great work on the user experience and the use cases.
Wonderful. Thank you. It's great to be here.
And Steve, great to have you back on the podcast.
Always a pleasure.
I hope you've gotten a little bit of rest.
Yes.
And Mills, no anthologizing while surfing, okay?
I promise.
Okay. Well, Tom, do you have any last thoughts?
Nope. Just thanks to everyone, and we'll see you back again on another edition of Digital Campus.
Take care, everyone.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Fear itself. Fear itself.
Please visit us online at digitalcampus.tv, where you can join in the discussion and let us know about stories and issues you would like us to cover on future episodes. Mike O'Malley wrote our theme music.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Fear itself. Thank you.